But if I had known that there was a, how do I say this without getting in trouble on my podcast? A place where people make new friends while communicating through a hole in the wall, then I probably wouldn't have booked a hotel two doors down.
Welcome to A Book and a Dream with Megan O'Russell, an author's adventure in writing, reading, and being an epic fangirl.
Hello, my name is Megan O'Russell, and welcome to episode 61 of A Book and a Dream. I have a horrible case of wanderlust. It is just in my blood. The travel bug is crazy strong. Normally, between theater and extra trips, I go lots of places in a year. Sometimes I live on a tour bus and I go to 100 places in a year. You know, it's a crazy life. And some of my best, well, I think my best concepts for books have come from travel. And some of them are completely accidental. The mountains in Alaska have very definitely worked their way into my books, especially through the Il Brea series. And, you know, I never went up to Alaska planning to write books about them. I went up there for a theater gig. The rock cairns in Ireland, the lakes in Thailand have all worked their way into my books, even though I did not go there planning on those things. And there are some things that I have gone to see specifically for book research. I did, in fact, climb Mount Greylock before it ever made it into the Tethering series. Funny story about that. When I knew that I needed a mountain refuge for the Tethering series, because I am such a stickler about travel times, I want to make sure that everything is possible. You know, you can't make it from Central Park to Times Square in 2 minutes walking. That doesn't work. So I needed to make sure that it would be a mountain that was secluded enough for magical things to happen, but was close enough to the other places where things were happening in the book that you could sort of have a quick commute time to adventure, you know, not an 8-hour drive. So in making sure that that was possible, the best choice I could come up with was Mount Greylock after looking at a lot of maps and roads. And I went and I hiked it to make sure it was good. And it was. It was great. I wrote it into the book. And then a few years later, J.K. Rowling decided to place her American Wizarding School on my mountain that I had climbed. But I'm not bitter, because everyone's welcome in my magical world, so she can do what she wants. But I really don't think she climbed it. Some things have also expanded from accidents into, you know, extreme distractions. Things like visiting the biodomes in Montreal, where they have all the little sets of domes with different environments in them. Sound familiar? It was one of the big inspirations behind the domes in the Grill of Glass series, and now the Heart of Smoke series. And because I knew that I wanted them to have a sustainable environment, there was lots of online research, but then also lots of visiting like different botanical gardens, a huge obsession with the Living with the Land ride at Disney, a Behind the Scenes tour at Disney, like all kinds of things that went into figuring out how to make the domes work. And sometimes there's other things like that that can be done specifically online, like manufacturing terms, how things are manufactured, what plants can be used for what, how ink is made, how to make alcohol in a place that doesn't want you to have it. All of those things can be done online. But things like finding inspiration from rock cairns and mountains and lakes in Thailand can't really be done from home. And travel, as we all know, has not really been a thing for the past year. Now, this sucks. It's the reason that the next Maggie Trent book isn't out yet, because Maggie Trent is based entirely on travel and adventure. And, you know, I don't want to make Maggie's fourth adventure be to my fridge where I eat way too much ice cream. So, you know, kind of got to put a hold on that one. But I have managed to find some really cool ways to put travel research into my books while, you know, only going as far as my fridge. One of the things that ended up in a book that is really cool that would not have been in there if I had been able to go to New York is the New York Public Library. I knew I wanted the New York Public Library to be in one of the Bryan Adams books. Why? Because there are a lot of books in that book series and it's the New York Public Library. You kind of have to include it. It has lions. It's by Bryant Park that he's named after. Like, they've got to go there. And normally, in a time when travel was a thing, I just would have, you know, gone into Manhattan, gone to the library, spent a day wandering around, and come up with exactly what I wanted to have happen. But that wasn't really possible, so I had to do my research other ways. And that included watching a lot of documentaries. The cool thing is, those official documentary makers get to go to places that people like me would never be allowed. So I'm looking at these documentaries and it's like, oh yes, this room is this and this room is this. And I'm like pausing and taking notes about like what the archways look like and checking it on my map of the library. And there's like quotes above the door. So I'm taking notes on that too. And then the documentary goes below ground. That's right. There's book storage below Bryant Park. And not only is there book storage below Bryant Park, they have a little train system. So when you request a book, it gets put in a little train car and it comes up through the ground to the circulation desk. Like they built themselves a train system. Yeah. I never would have been able to find out about that if I had just gone to the library and looked around, because they hide those things from normal people, but the documentary people got in. So that was really cool, finding those details that they keep hidden from the public. Another really cool thing that my husband is super excited I like is the fact that they now have VR ways to travel. That's right, you can put on VR and basically drop yourself on Google Maps anywhere. Want to go to Thailand? Sure. Want to go to New York? Sure. And you just like press the buttons and walk down the streets. Want to hit like try anything and it'll just drop you some random place in the world. I usually end up in the middle of a field. It's cool, whatever. The world has a lot of fields, so I guess like statistically that makes sense. But getting to travel through VR is very cool. And for an author, that's amazing. Because let's say that, you know, I've been to Boston a lot before. I've spent a lot of time there. But if I'm writing a book that takes place around Boston Commons and I want to make sure that I'm getting all the details right, I could go to Boston Commons with VR even if I couldn't literally go there to remind myself exactly what order the statues are in. I could just go there in VR, click my way around, remind myself everything, and then, you know, go have my Mai Tai in Florida or wherever I am. That's amazing. That's going to be game-changing for authors, and not just for authors, for travelers in general. I've ended up at some very hotel, like sketchy hotels in my travel time because it looks really good on paper, but if I had known that there was a, how do I say this without getting in trouble on my podcast? A place where people make new friends while communicating through a hole in the wall, then I probably wouldn't have booked a hotel two doors down. Now, hindsight, it was very funny and cool and, you know, we were totally safe. But if I had had the VR travel option, I could have just dropped myself in front of the hotel I wanted to stay in, traveled myself around, found the very entertaining sign about making friends through little holes in the wall, and then I probably would have booked somewhere else. So VR travel has a huge influence, not only for authors, but also for travelers to maybe avoid those mishaps in the future, though that could take some of the fun out of traveling. Now, aside from an author and a wanderlust person having really a lot of excitement for how VR capabilities can affect how we can plan travel and how we can work, I'm also kind of intrigued as a reader. And I'm probably giving away a great idea that someone's going to make millions of dollars off of, but I don't have these technical capabilities or time. But bear with me here. And it really wouldn't work for my books anyway. But let's say that you are like a thriller writer, like Dan Brown. There we go. I remembered the name. I didn't even have to like turn the camera off. I'm so proud of me. So you're a big reader of Dan Brown. Now imagine that Dan Brown has like a virtual suite on his website that you can go into with like the VR 360 experience and go through all the locations in his books. What? Or even not Dan Brown. Like imagine that, I don't know, the next Babysitter's Club, is that still a thing? The next Babysitter's Club book takes place at a summer camp and it's based on a real place and you can like take a virtual summer camp of the virtual tour of the summer camp it's based on. Or like the murder mystery village where like the author based it on a real place and there's clues hidden in VR. And so you can actually go walk through the town while you're reading a book to try and look for extra clues. So you read, but then you have extra virtual experiences. Someone's going to figure out how to do this, and someone's going to make a lot of money off of it, and I'm totally going to be giving them my dollars so I can experience this, because that's going to be amazing. And I'm not talking about, like, walking around through an imaginary Narnia. I'm talking about real places, like Google Maps, but for books. It's going to be so cool. And honestly, after trying VR, I think that that's actually a lot closer than we think it is. I think we're going to be, like, hanging out with the Grisha pretty darn soon. So that's amazing. They might as well. They already built a set. They might as well let us walk around it. It'll be great. So if you don't have a VR headset, which I'm assuming most people don't at this point, just know that these things are amazing. And, you know, once we can go see our friends again safely, find a friend with a VR headset and try it out, because it's super cool. And if you do have a VR headset and you have not yet tried out the walking around the world just for fun applications, try it. It's very cool, and it'll like distract you for a few hours or fulfill your wanderlust, either way. And if neither of those are possibilities and you're trying to write a book, look up weird documentaries on where you want to place your scenes, because you never know when you might find an underground vault of books in New York City. How has this never been in like a Mission Impossible thing? I don't know. Well, it's in Bryan Adams now, so there you go. So until next time, take a little explore around the world. And if you have other ideas for how to virtually travel while we all wait this out, shoot them my way, because the wanderlust is real and there's only so much good ice cream can do me. Until next time, I hope you find a fun way to travel in your books or on your screen until we can just buy plane tickets again. I even miss flying. How is that possible? See you next time.